Hello and welcome to ReTNG, a Star Trek The Next Generation rewatch podcast. My name is Chris.
This is Emmett.
And this is Season 4, Episode 19.
That's the nth degree.
Yes, this is a broccoli episode.
Yeah, so this is the first episode with the return of Lieutenant Reginald Barclay, played by Dwight Schultz, since mm-hmm. his first introduction episode, which was Hollow Pursuits. So see that one if you're not familiar. I have no idea what episode that was.
And if you're not familiar who Dwight Schultz is, he played Murdoch in the original A-Team TV series.
Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, so this episode starts out kind of just normal. Oh, do you have the deets there? Give me the deets.
It's Hollow Pursuits was season 3, episode 21. So it was pretty much exactly a season ago almost.
Wow.
Like, pretty close. Because this is 19 of season 4. That was 21 of season 3. So, yes, so this episode, very similar. Unlike last time, there isn't like 6 writers. Or was that last time or the time before? I don't know.
Yeah, that was last time. That was last week. Yeah.
It was written by Joe Manosky, directed by Robert Ligato, and first aired April 1st, interestingly enough, 1991.
Oh.
So we're into April, just as we are
into April. We're actually only a few weeks behind where we are now.
We're into April, just as we are into April in real life. And funny enough, this actually aired on April 1st. Because I guess, like, that's just when the... That's just where it lined up.
Whatever the air date was, sure.
Yeah, whatever the night that it airs on, and that's just when it lined up. And there was no, like, intentional, you know, it's not like oh, this is the April Fool's episode. It's just, no, it just happened to fall on April 1st for the, you know, because of the day that it airs on. So, yeah. Opens with a scene from Cyrano, like Cyrano de Bergerac. The play with Barclay playing Cerno and with Dr. Crusher acting with him. And it's kind of interesting because it opens with the scene and it's just kind of like close-ups of them and they're in like in costume and they're doing this scene and they're on like...
At first, because it was like, oh, it's like Barclay is
you well, know, that's all, the thing. All, I feel
he's
like
all made
it
up. And then I was like, oh, is he doing a holodeck thing with another fake holodeck?
Well,
is that like real Crusher? Is that or is that holodeck Crusher?
That's the thing, is I think they did that on purpose to
And then it cuts to that the rest of the main cast is like watching this, and it's like, oh, okay, this is.
And it's sort of like they were kind of teasing that, like, you know, in his introductory episode there, in Hollow Pursuits, it was all about that, you know, he was. Obsessed with or not obsessed, but like he was you know, had this like really bad like social, you know, trouble, and that his only kind of escape was like he would go into the holodeck and he was like addicted to going into the holodeck and having these like living out these fantasies with characters based off of, you know, or portrayed by the real officers on the ship, but like they were obviously just holographic characters. And so there, I feel like they were kind of deliberately playing with that idea of like oh no, like he's still doing that, oh, you know, oh no. And then it turns out like, no, actually he's actually like acting in a play in front of the rest of the crew. And you know, but I really enjoy the fact that they don't repeat just the same kind of thing as like what in the first Barclay episode it was like they do something different, but they still kind of play off of like the nature of the character, and they have him being like he's more able to interact with people and he's not as kind of
like he's getting better.
He's getting better.
Maybe that's a bad
he's not paralyzed with like, you know, anxieties and being unable to like be with people, but he's still not, you know, I mean, he's still
that was
trouble.
One of the things
he's still
about
struggling.
When they were writing this episode was they wanted to, because they wanted to bring this character back.
Yeah, of course, because he's
but
amazing.
They didn't,
and
but they didn't want to, they didn't want to just do a repeat. They wanted to do something new. They wanted to show that the character was not just the same Like, where he wasn't just where they had left him off a year ago. And
which
so
makes
they basically
sense.
Ended up making like a vehicle episode for him. To give this character like sort of something more. And then also, like, over the course of this episode, he was going to grow in a way sort of similar to how he had grown in the first time he had showed up, which is funny considering it's a show where, like, you often don't have a ton of, we have background episodes on characters, but not actually a ton of character growth. He's a side character
they
that
sort
actually
of
has character
him,
growth.
They use, well, it's kind of like they almost, it's almost kind of like they're sort of, they're so dead set against having, a lot of major character development for like the regular characters because they want to maintain that like episodic nature. And so they're almost like using Barkley as kind of a proxy for like, hey, you know, we have a character that we can actually like develop and like, you know, have go on a journey of him sort of changing with the things that he's learning or the things that he's, and they kind of,
we can show
him,
that,
they use him for that purpose to kind of have a character they can do that with because they know they can't really do that with the regular cast at this time, you know, anyways, obviously.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They do change and grow, you know, slowly and obviously it becomes more of a thing as time goes on. But, you know, it definitely seems like they kind of, they put a lot of effort into developing Barkley because, you know, he's one of the few characters that they've sort of been able to do that with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So plot wise, basically what happens is they have this big science telescope array thing, and the computers failed. There's a huge problem with the reactors as a result.
Start the reactor, Quaid.
They got to start the reactor. So they need to try to fix it, but there's concerns about not having enough time. And then they find out that there's like this probe of unknown origin is near the array, and they figure out that's what's causing the problems with it. So they go to check out the probe. Geordi takes Barkley on the shuttle to go check out the probe because he's trying to kind of give, like, with the sort of growth that Barkley has been having as a person and everything. Geordi's trying to like give him like a chance to kind of like, you know, here's another thing where you can kind of like step up a little bit. He's giving him
He's giving him opportunities.
Yeah, he's giving him opportunity because he says like, you know, he actually is like a good engineer, and a lot of times it's like, you know, he just kind of needs a proper opportunity and to like you know, help get that confidence up, which is always his main problem. And so they go, and then the probe shoots out this like flash. And it knocks Barkley unconscious. Geordi's unaffected because his visor filters it out. And then when Barkley wakes up, next little while, starts to manifest more and more like intelligence, but like more confidence, more like everything, basically, you know. And then it just kind of like escalates and escalates until he kind of sort of becomes like he's like super Barkley, or you know. Uber
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it, really.
Know, and he,
that's
and then he ends up at one. You know, eventually.
Well, it starts off. He's like more confident.
Yeah.
And then that confidence starts turning into like he's also. Oh, it's clearly he's also smarter.
Well,
and then
well,
it's
it
like,
sort of,
and then it starts getting weird.
Yeah. Well, it kind of starts right away because there's the whole thing about where.
With the shields, where he brings the shields up to
No, it's before that even, because it's where it's like when he first wakes up in sickbay. And Crusher is like explains what happened to him.
Then
he
tells him
he's basically, oh, like, well, you know, you, because she's like, oh, I have to wait for like, you know, your test results to know exactly, blah blah blah. And he's like, oh, well, you could get those results much faster, you know, if you do this,
if
this,
you,
and this.
You do X,
and,
Y, or
and
Z.
She,
yeah,
she's,
yeah,
she's
exactly,
like, well, that'll work for like, you know, computer circuits, but that doesn't like work for people. And he's like, no, it's like, you know, it's the same. Like, I can tell you how to do it. Like, you know. And he kind of insists, you know, and so that's kind of the first sign, and then it kind of accelerates from there, where like, you know, the thing with the shields, where they're like, well, we can't use, you know, can't use photon torpedoes at such a close range because the ship will be badly damaged. We can't get out of here. We can't do this, that, or the other. And then, you know, and then it turns out like Barkley like like has come up with this new like way to like put their shields up by 300% so that they can fire torpedoes and the shields will hold and you know all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it just sort of keeps escalating.
Until
eventually he ends up going to the holodeck and basically creating this like neural interface where he basically becomes like one with the computer or with the ship's computer, and then he controls everything sort of directly. And everyone's kind of freaking out because they're like, well, that can't be good.
Because like towards the end of it, he's just like become the computer.
Yeah, because he's in total control.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he sends them like far, far away. Like, what was it, like 30,000 light years or something like that?
So he sends them to the center of the galaxy.
Yeah.
And then
there's the whole thing with like that alien face thing, dude, that
the giant floating head.
Which I love the way that, like, it sort of talks.
That interaction is great. I was so glad, like, because that was the thing. That was one of the things. Like, I remember this. I remember this episode. I was like, "Oh, this is the episode where Barkley gets like smart and confident." But I forgot the payoff. And so while watching this episode, I was like, "Man, if they don't pay this off in a way that's like interesting and Star Trek relevant beyond like, oh, a probe made Barkley smart for a while.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be really disappointed. Like that is gonna be a big failure this episode. It's like, oh, like the payoff is actually, oh, the probe is actually designed to bring people to these aliens and like, you know, like, well, as Barkley says, like they have like the same mission as the Enterprise to like seek out new life and places to explore, except the aliens bring it to them because they don't leave their home system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's such a,
well, it's kind of like the opposite of like in Clues, where it's the whole thing of like these powerful aliens that like don't want anyone to know about them or to visit them.
Oh, and yeah, so, like they're like xenophobic.
So,
yeah,
they're like xenophobic, so they arrange for like anyone that gets close to them, you know, they zap
them. To be sent away, yeah.
They zap them and they send them away without their memories and stuff, and so that no one knows that they exist. And like this is like the opposite, where it's like these aliens that need a way where they're like, they obviously have, they're very powerful, but like they don't like to leave their homes, so they like bring
people
to them, you know. But then once they're there, they're like, you know, perfectly friendly and
they seemed super. It was like nice old floating godhead man,
because they're just like curious about other races.
Exactly.
And so they, you know, they exchange, you know, ideas, and because it's mentioned at the end of this episode that they stay like, what was it, like 10 days or something?
Ten days, and they
sort of, you know, they exchange cultural information and stuff like that, and you know, it's they basically make this like weird new friend 30,000 light years away.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting. It's like, oh, you've just made contact with a species or like a group of people that like you'll probably never make contact again with on like your terms.
But for them, it's more just about like they just want to know like about what's out there, right? So you know, they probably just send these probes all over the place and then just like, and then like they know that they can deal with whatever it is. So, you know, it seemed like there was no concerns about like, oh, what if like somebody hostile like uses it and shows up. It's like they would have been able to deal with that.
That didn't seem like they
clearly
had,
they have
like,
technology
the power
that
to,
puts them above, you know. And it's more just about curiosity about what's out, what other things are out there and stuff, you know. But I just like the way that the head thing alien, the Cytherians, that's what they're called. I like the way they like talked, like the, oh yeah, there's a quote here of where it says some of it, where he's like, emotive electrochemical stimulus response, cranial plate, bipedal locomotion, endoskeletal continuous external integument.
It's like they were just making, they were like just jotting down notes based off quick observations.
They're just, you know? And then it's like, and then Captain Picard's like, I'm Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the first Star Trek Enterprise, and they're like, hierarchical collective command structure.
That's like,
who are you?
And it's like,
Interrogative?
Interrogative? Yes. Yeah.
That was really fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that the little thing at the end where, they have the final thing where it's much like the end of like sort of Hollow Pursuits, where it's like, yeah, all Barkley's issues aren't completely gone or anything, because that's not realistic, you know, that's not what people are but like he has made like another step forward in this experience, even though he's like returned back to normal more or less. This experience has sort of changed like his view and his sort of outlook, and you know, so they have the whole thing where like the earlier they had the whole thing where he propositions Troy when he's in like his super
he asks her about taking a walk on the
Arboretum
Arboretum,
and it's weird because he's being like really like forward and like, you know, super like creepily confident.
Well, it's weird, right? Because he's weird about it as well.
Well, yeah, and it's because the thing is he's never done that, and then all of a sudden being very, you know, overly confident. And so, mm-hmm. you know, at the time that it happens, she's kind of like, that's pretty messed up. Yeah, okay. But then at the end,
she laughs at it in a way like she appreciates his confidence in the gesture, but like at this moment in time, like, because
it's,
you know,
not
she still
really
uses
the right thing. Yeah. But like at end, she's like, oh yeah, you know, like, let's go do that, because, you know, she knows that's like, he's him, and it's like, he's made a step forward. Right. But I like then like on the way out, there's the whole thing where he there's the people playing the chess, and he's like, mm-hmm. oh, may I? And then he moves a piece and he's like, checkmate in 9 moves. And then they go to leave and Troy's like, I didn't know you play chess. And he's like, I don't. So it's like
like shocked look on his face
It's like he retains that like a little bit, even though like technically he's been returned to normal. He kind of retains a little
something
bit of
stuck
the
with
extra.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like it shows that, you know, there's that extra kind of growth where it's like, mm-hmm. okay, it's like Barkley has leveled up again. You know, it's like each time he kind of levels up.
For sure.
You know, but, you know, the point is that he still has to be himself. He still has to be, you know, it has to be natural. It has to be something that's an outgrowth of his experiences and mm-hmm. what he wants to do as a person, and that, you know, he has to kind of naturally, you know, and so things like him being all like souped up by the Cytherians, by the probe, like that doesn't work, because that just takes it into this other realm where it just gets creepy, and it's, you know,
well, that's sort of the thing. Yeah. There's a line there.
Yeah, 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 and so it's more about like, it's like, okay, you have to make these strides.
Because he's not like the real Barkley at that point.
Yeah.
Like he's too overly influenced by something else.
Yeah.
And I mean, she detects it right away.
But at the same
thing is she, like, the very first time that she's in the room where he expresses mm-hmm. himself this way, they cut to her and she's like, she could detect that there's something not quite right.
Well, of course, because, I mean, that the empathic aspect, like... You know, because she could definitely feel like this is not the same.
Well, being that she's his counselor, she would mm-hmm. know him, like, very well in that regard, you know.
Yeah, well, true. That, too. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. You know, that scene does lead to where they're having the meeting in the captain's quarters.
And then when they leave...
And Riker, because they're talking about the Barkley problem, and she's like, yeah, he even asked me on a date to the Arboretum, and then Riker just keeps saying like, did you say yes?
Yeah.
And she walks away without saying anything, and he's got this look on his face like,
yeah. Well, it's because at the end of it, they talk about it, and then at the end he's like, just one thing about that. You didn't say whether he was successful.
Yeah. Whether you went in on his offer or not. And then she just smiles and walks away.
Riker is always like, you know, it's always kind of like, oh.
Well, there's jealousy a little bit.
I know.
It is Riker and Troy.
I know, but like technically, I mean, they both claim to like, we have moved on, and that they're not, you know, don't have that type of relationship and blah blah blah. But it's like,
sure, yeah, but also
clearly,
it's Riker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it, it's funny how it never really seems to go the other way though, because, you know, You don't see Troy all getting all up in arms every time that.
I think that's just a bit of like standard television writing where it's
I know,
guy pursues girl, never girl pursues guy kind of thing. You know, but Riker is also like I don't know. He's driven a bit more like towards the ladies that way versus like Troy is a much more, because of course her abilities.
Yeah.
I doubt that was ever considered, but you know,
the few times where they have delved into, you know, Troy having some kind of love life has generally not gone well. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's, so, you know, poor writing. The best ideas are always going to be hampered by poor writing.
But so that's the Nth Degree. What did you think?
Yeah.
What's your number?
I quite enjoyed this episode, especially like not remembering the payoff and then the quite good, like really, I really enjoyed that payoff. Mm-hmm. I quite liked it. I'm going to give this one an 8. It wasn't an amazing, especially considering it was, basically a guest star driven episode.
Yeah, I mean, being there wasn't guest
focused
star,
on the. Pardon? A real repeat guest star.
A really good guest star, but yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. I'm also.
You know, I don't.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't quite. If it had like maybe a little more, maybe just a little more in it, I could give it a 9. It's like an 8.5 for me.
That's what I was gonna say as well. It's 8 for me as well. It's definitely like teetering on 9, but for me it was kind of like it just sort of came down to like where does its importance in the show as a whole fall, and like does it really do, what does it really do for the show going forward? And it's like not much really. I mean, the only like we're saying, like the only character who really develops or has anything significant happen to them is Barclay, who is a great character but is a guest character, and you know, other than that, it doesn't have sort of a whole lot of significance. It's really kind of just another standalone, you know, Star Trek episode. It's a really good one, you know, and I like the story, but you know, there's not a lot sort of to it. Like, it's a pretty simple thing. So you know, it has some,
it's the execution was really good, and that's
when you get into these real high areas, it's like the expectations also become really high, because you're like,
exactly,
well, you're doing so many things at such a high level that like anything that can be kind of criticized is kind of amplified a little bit in a way. So you know,
I mean, thank goodness they didn't try and go. Yeah, it's like a high 8. Yeah,
it's a very high 8.
I mean, thank goodness they didn't try and jam a B story into this episode.
Yeah, or like some other.
This is another, much like last week, where there's no B story. But thank goodness, because it would have really like just diluted the whole, like what actually made this, you know, important.
No, it worked fine though, as it was. So I'm gonna go with 8 as well.
Excellent.
High 8.
Yeah. So that's episode 19, The Nth Degree. Wow, we are down to, what do we got, 6 episodes left? 7 episodes left.
There's
26 episodes this season?
Yeah, there's 26. 24. There's 26, I think, in every season.
26, okay, so we still got 7 episodes left. Okay, so we still got a good chunk to go. We still got a decent chunk of episodes to go in season 4 here. All right, so thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back next week with episode 20. Until then, I'm Chris.
Cupid. It's a
It's a Q episode.
It's a Q episode
right.
for this season.
Yeah. Oh yeah, awesome.
Yeah, there was getting into a little bit of a point where it's like a little bit more. You know, it's that sort of, I guess, what would it be like, these, not really spring break, but it's like the sort of. Where there's a little bit bigger gaps, like there's technically like a 3-week gap between this episode and the next.
Probably because early January, like, sweeps and stuff, or?
No, because this was April, so I'm not really
sure.
Oh,
this was April, right, of course, yeah. Sorry, this was
I was going to say,
episode,
like, a spring,
yeah.
I was going to say, like, a spring break, but, like, it seems a little late for a spring break, but, yeah.
Yeah, but, that's weird.
Yeah, so. And then they had more in May, because May is a sweeps month, so then they had a few more episodes in May, and then, so.
Right.
Anyways.
Right. Ways, May sweeps. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Excellent. All right, then. So we'll see you next week. My name's Chris.
This is Emmett.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.